So, you brought some students here. You were here last year. You were talking about drones last year, I think, briefly, weren't you? Weren't we?
We were. The Montrose County School District has had a focus on becoming the first STEM district in Colorado, science, technology, engineering, and math. And our students at Peak Academy were more interested in drones than anything else. And we had to figure out how we could use drones in the STEM framework and use it within our community to help solve problems. So we reached out to our community partners, a variety of public and private agencies, and they kind of told us what they needed from drones. And we went out and we've acquired between $60,000 to $70,000 worth of hardware and software to use that technology to solve real problems.
Search and rescue.
Yes. Evaluating modification of the floodplain down in the west end towards Naterita. So there's a whole slew of applications for this drone technology. It's just exploding. And we're fortunate because we're right on the front edge of it, utilizing it to collect real-time data.
All right. So you brought some guests, some students here.
I did. And these two students are Sam Green, who is a sophomore, who is kind of heading our program. He is one of our two top pilots right now. We have flight crews that are trained and licensed and insured. And Samantha Hodges, I call her Sammy, she's an eighth grade student, and she's also a part of our top flight team right now. And they run the drones. I'm just there as a facilitator. They're the ones that fly, and they're in charge.
All right. So, Sam, let me start with you're the elder statesman, sophomore.
Yeah.
All right. How much do these drones cost, and how hard is it to fly these things? Is it like my kid has a remote control helicopter at home? I can't fly it. It's really hard to fly. I crash it all the time. But
well,
are these dummy proof, or are they? Do you really have to take a class before you fly this thing?
Yeah, they're pleasurable to fly just because they're so sophisticated. They're a lot better than, you know, something you'd buy at Walmart, but it is necessary to take classes and really be educated on what all the various things it can do and all the various things you should be aware of.
Because if you fly it into a telephone wire or mm-hmm. I mean, you could break a very expensive piece of gear,
yeah,
tool. If you fly it into the wrong place, there could be a press conference. You know,
yeah.
It's like, for instance, an airport. But tell me about, in a chronological way, how you got involved with this.
Well, at first I was interested in the Steamship Club at Peak, which is STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And then there was the drone program. That was an option. I had an option to join that. And that was toward the beginning of this school year. And I joined, and it was pretty interesting. So I just got more and more involved. And
mm-hmm. And partly, too, both of these people are very intelligent. They're very reliable, and we wanted them involved. Mm. So they're very modest, but these two students are very sharp, and I trust them. We quite often will have $15,000 in the air at one time, and they're in charge of it, and they know how to operate the controls. They know we have flight crews. We have essentially three people, and to follow the FAA guidelines and do everything legally, we have spotters. We're in constant communication as far as what's going on with the aircraft in the air as well as what's going on the ground. So, again, these guys are real modest, but, it's pretty impressive when they get it up in the air.
Sammy is here, short for Samantha. Good morning.
Good morning.
Eighth grade, right?
Correct.
All right. So tell me about the first time you flew a drone.
The first time I flew a drone at Peak was quite nerve-wracking because you've got about $15,000 in the air and you have to be really responsible. You have to know everything that you have to be aware of when you're flying. You have to be aware of the different controls and what happens in a case of emergency. So it's quite a lot of responsibility.
And what's on the drone? Are there cameras on it?
Yes, the camera. There's two batteries flying at once with the Matrice 100, which is a quadcopter, and we have two different cameras for the 100. We have a thermal imaging camera, and what other?
It's just a cinema quality. Yeah. It's called an X3, but it's just a cinema quality camera.
So when it's up there, it's filming the whole time, right?
You have an option to control when it's recording, or you can take pictures in the air, or you can just fly it around just to spot different whatever targets we're looking mm-hmm. for.
So, what kind of scenarios are you using the drone for?
We're gonna be using it to film certain things with the Weed Warrior project. The district got a $50,000 3M Eco Grant, which is allowing Centennial Middle School, Columbine Middle School, and Peak Academy to partner to remove invasive species of certain plants and Mr. Eck would probably know more about that.
Yeah, we're using the drone technology partly, one, to inventory wildlife bird populations specifically before we start eradicating these invasive plant species in the river bottom area near Cerise Park and such. But we're also using it to ArcGIS, which is kind of the industry standard for geographical information systems. They layer data, and what we're doing is there's what's called drones to maps. So we're building 2 and 3D maps from the images that we're taking from the air, and then other types of data are then layered in with that mapping data so that we can analyze how successful we're being, what still needs to be done, what the land stewardship program is going to be as we move forward. So it's a very comprehensive and complicated program. Both with the hardware and the software. And so far, again, these students have done a fantastic job of kind of leading the way to get our feet wet and actually start using the equipment. But again, these things are intimidating. They're not like what you're used to seeing at home with these $200 drones you buy at the store and these little things. These things are kind of intimidating. They're big.
Uh-huh.
They're real big.
Sam, how high do they go? How high do you take...
Well, there's a legal ceiling of 400 feet, but you could take them up until you start losing enough atmosphere to take them up.
Huh. What do the weather conditions have to be like for you to use this? We get the spring winds here on the western slope.
Mm-hmm. For these drones specifically, there can't be really any moisture at all. So obviously no rain or any precipitation of any sorts.
So this is a good climate for drones.
Yeah, especially the weather now has been great. And then also it does a good job resisting wind speeds, but as it gets to about, like as the wind speed gets to around 22 meters per second or so, you would likely want to bring the drone down out of the wind.
Do you name the drone?
Nope.
You give them names?
Not so far.
You put the Peak Academy logo on it?
There's not really any place to put it. It's more just the framework. There's not really any extra covering you can put it.
So when you begin one of these exercises of flying the drone, who do you notify?
We notify either... Mr. Doug Ecker or Mr. Ray Sanford. He's one of the other teachers at Peak Academy. we always have to have one of them with us when we're flying because liability reasons.
Right.
And they're also one of our spotters. And
how big is the remote control? Is it gigantic?
It's...
Or is it like a television remote?
It's about... 6 inches across, maybe 8 inches.
There's two cameras on board. One is the pilot view camera, and then the other is the camera that we're going to be using to record things with. So the pilot can actually see just as if they were sitting in the front of the aircraft. So there's two different cameras going on at any given time. The other thing I need to point out, what Sammy was talking about, legally you can't fly within 2 mile radius of the airport. In fact, it won't. The software will not allow you to do that. But technically, you need to notify the airport with if you're within a 5 mile radius, the control tower that you are flying a drone within 5 miles. The other thing is, quite often, if we're going to be doing anything that I think we notify the local authorities, the police, if we're going to be doing something, and let them know what we're doing if there's going to be it's bothersome. The other thing is, if we fly over private property, we feel obligated to notify anybody before we would do that, so that we would say, do you mind if we fly across your house or your property, and let them know why before we would actually we don't want to be a bother to anybody, and we want people to know what we're doing and what we're doing it specifically. So we're very sensitive to people's privacy and, you know, public domain as far as being, you know, irritating people and such. So that's also an important part of it.
For instance, a radio tower, if it's 200 feet or higher, it has to have a red light on it for airplanes. So a lot of these towers are 198 feet for that reason. A lot of extenuating circumstances when you're flying one of these things. So what's the goal this year of the program? What are some benchmarks you want to hit?
What we want to do is make sure we can operate the equipment safely and get students trained, get flight crews trained. That's a big goal, and learning to use some of the data software. So at this point in time, we've started to collect some data, and we will continue to do that this spring. But our real goal is to make sure we have all the equipment dialed in, we're comfortable using it, and then starting late this spring into next summer, we have a number of projects outlined with the county, with other public and private agencies, where we're going to be collecting data, and then the students will actually be involved in the what the district calls PBLs, which are problem-based learning pieces, and we'll be actually collecting real-time data on these projects within the next few months, trying to come up with solutions to those problems, and we'll be involved in that process throughout. The students will be. So that's our goal right now, is getting our equipment up and running so we feel comfortable with it, so we can actually start really getting involved in this. The other piece we want to do too is get other teachers and students trained from Olathe High School, Montrose High School, the middle schools, even the elementary schools, get students and teachers trained and qualified, so that if other schools have reasons to use this equipment, we can either send our flight teams, or they might be able to create their own flight teams to be able to collect data for a project they're working on. So that's kind of where I think we're at right now.
Sam or Sammy here, what's the sweet spot as far as the level of, as far as altitude for the drone when you're collecting data? Is it 100 feet, 200 feet?
We usually like to fly about 35 meters, which is approximately around 100 feet in the air. That's probably a good altitude if we want to. It's not too high where, you know, you can't see anything on the ground, but it's not too low either. But if we were looking for any animals with the wildlife inventory, we'd probably want to fly just a little bit higher than that because of the motors can still be heard from that altitude. But around there, when we usually just practice, that's around the altitude we fly at.
Hmm. Do they make a hum?
They do. They're quite loud, actually.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
The 100, it's odd because the 100 has four motors, and the 600, the M600 has six, but the 100 is actually louder than the 600. But even with that said, they're both still fairly loud. So.
You know what was on the news last night on ABC News? I was watching, there was a story about driverless taxi drones that they're rolling out. I don't know where, I forget where it was, what city it was, or what country it was in. Anyway, long story short, it carries one person, the taxi service, shuttling people and a human being in a drone. Is that where this is going?
Well, you know, I think what's amazing to me, even on these industrial drones we have, we can set automated flight plans. So the pilot, once we turn the aircraft on, you can hit initiate mission, and the drone flies itself. And now it also and we pre-program the flight plan. We have an app that we can go in and pre-program what altitude, what speed, whatever we want.
And you use GPS coordinates for
yes,
that?
Yes, it's all okay. GPS coordinates. It has GPS antennas on it. Accuracy is within about a half a meter. And they've been very precise so far. But it's amazing. And then there's also sensors on the drone that it will prevent itself from running into things. So if it, for some reason, you've programmed it and it senses that something's in its way, it will try to not run into it.
Boy, that's nice.
Yeah, it's amazing where this stuff is going to be headed over the next 10 years.
Are you proficient? Would you call yourself proficient in operating this, Sammy?
Somewhat. Yeah, I was trained. We're still figuring it out. We're still learning to operate the different controls, what everything does, and before we actually get out on different missions, we're still learning.
You call yourself proficient yet, Sam?
I suppose to some degree, not any more than anybody else, but.
You need to do it a little every day, almost.
Well, and these guys, again, they're very modest. I would not trust them with $15,000 in the air unless I thought they were proficient. The thing about it is, these aren't toys. These aren't like drones you're doing backflips with and things like that. Mm-hmm. These guys do a great job of controlling it, making sure it's safe, making sure the equipment's safe, making sure everybody's on the ground is safe. Yeah, but I consider them very proficient.
Let me take a call here. Hang on one second. Hi, you're on the radio. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I have. You know, I tuned in a little late here. But anyway, how about, like, if I'm sitting out on my patio, and I got my old goose gun sitting there, and one of these things start buzzing my house, and after it goes around about the third time, I shoot it down. I'm serious. And, well, how are they going to know I shot it down? I mean, this thing's got the film on it. It crashes in my yard, and I bury it. You know what I mean?
Right. Would you know if someone tampered with the drone?
Well, we on our flight plan can mark GPS coordinates for its last piece, and we actually have a black box on it, too, so we could go back to find its last coordinates.
All right. Would I be liable, though? That's my point.
Well, the legal cases I've seen... the people on the ground have gotten in trouble for that.
Yeah.
But I want to say to the caller, we would never fly over your property without notifying you why we were flying over your property.
Okay, I see.
We would never buzz you and invade your privacy.
That's my airspace, right?
Well, technically, it's from what I've seen, it's not. But invasion of your privacy, especially if there's a camera on board, I can understand why people would be frustrated. So, yeah, we would notify you why we were flying over your house, when we were going to do it, and we wouldn't do it without your permission. Now, other people that aren't doing it professionally might just, you know, the kid next door may be screwing around, but we would never do that and invade your privacy.
Yeah. Well, you know what that would be good for? Say you had, like, a 100-acre ranch, you wanted to sell it along the river, blah, blah, and then get a hold of you guys, and you could do a promo for this place, right?
Yeah. You do a commercial for real estate.
Well, and the key thing for us, being recreational pilots, we have to do it. We cannot charge money for it. Hmm. We would just do it as a donation, as a field experience for our pilots. We couldn't charge anybody, nor would we want to. So, but we're getting a lot more requests like that, and again, we just do it for the fun of it.
Yeah.
But, that's the start. Okay, thanks for the information.
Thank you for the call. I'm out of time. Doug, did I miss anything?
Thank you for having us.
All right. Sam, what's your last name?
Sam Green.
Sam Green from Montrose, right? Goes to Peak Academy. And Samantha
Hodges.
And you live in Montrose and you go to Peak as well, right? Hey, good job.
Thank you very much.
All right, this is very important stuff. I'm out of time. Thank you, Mr. Recker. News is next.